podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the latest video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to the Fantasy Premier League game week 29. It's a big double game week. We're going to also use the international break to take stock of the best players since the World Cup. We have two videos in this series this week. Do have a look at the one we did earlier in the week around defenders and goalkeepers. This one, we will focus on the best midfielders and forwards since game week 17. I'm particularly excited by these because these will be probably where we're going to put our captaincy for game 29 and beyond. My name is Joe and joining me is Fantasy Football Scout writer Mark. Mark, how are you?
Good, thanks. Yeah, not too bad. How are you?
Yep, good. It's been, feels like ages since we last saw each other. Those in the know that we probably recorded them at the same time, but what we'll do is I reckon we're going to move swiftly on and have a look at the midfielders, best midfielders since the World Cup. This is sorted by expected goal involvement non-penalty, so these are the best ones since the World Cup. These are the ones we should have been investing in, and there'll be a few familiar names in our teams, but some players here that we haven't really been investing in, so let's have a look here. Top player is De Bruyne, 39 points. So in terms of FPL points, not the best. But in terms of minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty, he is the best. He's only got 3 assists and 1 goal. But he, yeah, statistically the best. 12 million, though. It's been too much, isn't it? It's too much with De Bruyne.
Yeah, he's dropped in price a few times recently, but it's still too much. And it would, for a lot of people, require a whole new structure to our lineup in terms of premiums. And I think both De Bruyne and Mahrez were benched, was it against Crystal Palace?
Yeah.
Possibly. So even De Bruyne isn't rotation proof.
No, he's had 9 starts since the World Cup. Mahrez had 8. But Mahrez has scored 4 goals, 5 assists. He's second on this table. He's had 61 FPL points at 7.4. So those that have went with Mahrez over De Bruyne, well done. I think I went De Bruyne early on, but I did get rid of him pretty quick. I moved him on for Salah, I think, at one point this season. And I'm not going to go back. I can't see myself going back there. Man City do have a double coming up. Do have doubles coming up. So they will be an interesting team, but my instinct would have been De Bruyne, so to go alongside Haaland, but probably Mahrez now, wouldn't it? I mean, but with, as they get into Champions League further, I just don't think he's going to start, is he?
Well, Phil Foden has come back into proceedings again, so that sort of directly impacted Mahrez. And the problems of Foden earlier in the season when he was randomly benched for like 4 games, I think that's put people off him, but it's potentially what's going to happen to Mahrez as well, yeah, especially with the Champions League. So it's a real shame, though, because I absolutely love Mahrez. If you could guarantee a run of games for Mahrez, you'd be straight in the squad, but Pep roulette.
Rashford, he is a player that we possibly all didn't go for after the World Cup, but certainly in pretty much most active managers' teams now. 7.3 million, class as a midfielder. He is the main goal threat at Manchester United. 94 points, the highest out of any midfielder in our list. He started 11 times, 10 goals. It's almost a goal a game and a couple of assists. Minutes per expected goal involvement just below Mahrez and De Bruyne, but same general ballpark at 138 minutes. I mean, where do you go from here? I mean, I guess the question with Rashford is, he's technically injured at the moment. He might come back, but is it who you pair him up with? I guess it would be Fernandes if you were looking to really invest in Manchester United's defence, attack rather.
Yeah, he's become too popular to the extent that you can't really benefit from his goals unless you've captained him. Mm. And depending on how real this England injury is, he'd probably be a leading candidate for captaincy this double.
But yeah, he's my bus captain.
But apart from in a week where you're not captaining him, yeah, maybe Fernandes, but he comes at an awkward price, really, doesn't he?
Yeah. Next up in this is McAllister, 5.5. He's only had 32 points, so it's about a third of what Rashford's got. But he has scored a couple of times. His starts there is low just because he's come back from the World Cup, which he, of course, won. But he has scored a couple of times. He has got an assist. And he has, it's not a massive overperformance there, because in minutes per expected goal involvement, he's supposed to have been involved in a goal every 142 minutes, just below Rashford. He's in my team. I mean, I think he relies on a bit more than penalties, but he was, I think even in the cup game against Grimsby, he was pushed back a little bit. So is that always a fear with McAllister that he might be used in a deeper role?
It's always the fear, and you probably know more about Brighton than me. But when he's doing so well in that advanced number 10 position, it almost feels like why would you change that?
Yeah,
he's been since he moved to that more advanced role in game week 23. No player has a higher expected goals.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a stat to go in there. So I'm pleased he's in my team then.
So yeah. There is that danger, but he's doing so well.
Yeah.
Brighton as a team are real fourth place contenders. Mm. Like, as a Newcastle fan, like, I think Newcastle and Brighton are competing for fourth place season.
Well, next up on this is Salah, 12.8 million. He's got a tricky double in game 29, but fixtures coming up look good. 72 points as well, so quietly he's been backing up those points, and of course when everyone dumped him on the game week 26 wild card, the now infamous wild card, when Liverpool did so well, he racked up a haul there. 12 starts, nailed on, 5 goals, 4 assists. He's don't know. Are you going to get him in for this double? Or I mean, can you see yourself with Salah in your team at any point?
Certainly not for the double, because don't have the number of transfers to do it. And going forward as well, it would mean probably, assuming Haaland does come back in, it would mean ditching Kane, which, to be honest, isn't a bad shout really, but it's probably just going to be free hit 32 for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be the same for me. I just think the way the structure, the pricing is very kind. But I can't have Haaland, Salah, Fernandes, et cetera. I mean, it's kind pricing, but it's not insane. Next up on the list to highlight that, 6.6 million is Martinelli, second best midfielder after Rashford in terms of FPL points with 80 points. Started 13 times, totally nailed on. There was one game where he didn't start, but it was said to give him a breather. So there's really been no danger to his starting place. It's 8 goals and an assist, minutes per expected goal involvement of 150 minutes. It's just behind Salah. Lots of people are going to get rid of him this week, though, aren't they, for the double, because he doesn't got a double. But I wouldn't. I don't think if I had him.
As someone who played Gabriel and Odegaard for their single game week when they hold at Fulham, it's just proof that single game weekers can easily sell and outscore. And Martinelli's one of those players who, he could totally just score twice in a game easily.
Saravia at Wolves is showing his class there, 5.5 million. But arguably with a terrible side in Wolves. 19 FPL points, 6 starts, had a goal, and just one goal. But promise of so much more. I don't think people are going to go there. But Chelsea Sterling, they might. 9.7 million. I think Fernandes at that price range is probably going to get the bulk of the interest. But if you wanted to be different, Sterling is with his 5 starts and goal. So it's the risk of minutes, but it seems a bit more secure for minutes now if he's fit. Could be a differential.
Yeah, I think it's really difficult to find a way into Chelsea's midfield. There's just not really much there. So from a fantasy perspective, so Sterling's probably the better option. But as you say, the price being so similar to Fernandes, that will cause a bit of a debate, because Fernandes himself will be semi-differential. So I don't know, Sterling, there's just so many players there. Okay. Chelsea that he could rotate with. But it's the cheapest he's been for seasons and seasons, isn't it? So when he was at Man City, he was a premium player. Absolutely loved him from a FPL perspective. Would love to be nostalgic and go back to that.
Just before I get to the other two, just a reminder to everyone to do press that like button and do subscribe if you're not subscribing already. Also, all our videos are available as podcasts. We mentioned that at the beginning. We've got a little logo on the thumb for the YouTube video as well to show you there. So we upload them all as podcasts. So if you want to have a listen there, you can. Next up is March for Brian. So sort of the comparisons there with McAllister, as in a very good value Brighton asset, but McAllister 32 FPL points, March 75. He has played many more games, but seven goals. I mean, he's completely transformed under the Zerbi. Matoma's not on this list, but he's the one that catches the eye. But it's March is the one that actually seems to be the most improved in getting the points. He's not in my team, and I sort of wish he was, but can't have them all. See, in your team, which Brighton mids have you got at the moment?
Just Mitoma. And again, that's another player where...
Get another one.
Well, yeah, that he's owned by so many players that there's almost no gain from Brighton, which is not a position I want to be in. So, yeah, there's a chance that maybe McAllister comes in for Odegaard, perhaps. But, Brett, when you look at the underlying stats of those three Brighton midfielders, they've all sort of got a couple of areas that they're best at. And Mark seems to be good for creating chances and stuff like that. But I don't know, what's your opinion? Because I think, was he goalless for a couple of years until...
Yeah, but the thing is, because I'm old and I'm sorry, March, even though I still think of him as young. I remember when he was got a call up in the under-21s for England. He's always been good, and he's always been a utility player that you can play anywhere, really, on the wing. He could play at fullback, he can play wing back. He can be called on in more centrally. But, it's where he's playing on the wing at the moment that he's excelling. But it's De Zerbi. He's just completely taken him under his wing, completely transformed him. And that is where, he's really excelling, I think. And so I think it's real. I think he's always had that talent. I thought he was great when he played for England. I was surprised he wasn't given a call up actually this time, because he is one of the best Brighton wingers at the moment on form. But I think he's always been talented. He's always been hard work. He's got great attitude. I think after his game against Liverpool, I think he was seen out one of my friend's local pubs in Port Slade, which is a part of Brighton that Brighton and Hove that a lot of people don't know about, but it's he was out there. He's a local lad. I like it. I can't. Yeah, he's exactly like, because we had Dan Byrne, and you've got now, and he was sort of allowed to go freely because he really wanted to play for Newcastle. But I heard him on the radio talking about being a Newcastle fan. It's really nice, isn't it, when you get these local players who are really into their team. March is like that for me.
Watching Byrne and Longstaff around the sort of cup final weeks was a lot of fun. Yeah. They were very meme-worthy.
Yeah, they're very good. Yeah, it's very good there. So last midfielder on this list is Maddison, who creeps in. He featured earlier in the week in our goals imminent video, but also in the assists imminent table that's on there. So he's got goal threat, mostly from outside the box at the moment. Not a lot of shots inside the box, but a lot of goal threat there. We know about his free range kicks from distance, but he's got the assist threat as well. So minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty, 163 minutes, which creeps him onto this list here. So he's one of the best midfielders since the World Cup, despite only starting six times, but he has scored a couple of goals in that time and a couple of assists as well. So he's getting those returns. I mean, that's what I would look at there. So he's only got 28 points, FPL points, but in terms of starts, just six. That's pretty good, actually. Two goals, two assists. I mean, he's my vice captain at the moment. Is he in your team or in your thoughts?
Yeah, he was wild carded in 26, and then played him over a Mitoma haul. So that one hurt. So it was nice to see him get an assist at the weekend.
Okay.
the fixtures really are, that's probably one of the best doubles out there this week, that Leicester have. And I think the theory was that when they signed Tete in January, that would release Maddison from out wide and enable unleash the Maddison. And those stats kind of suggest that there is logic to that theory. So I'd be very happy to just take those points now, please.
Okay. Let's move on to the forwards. This is, what have I thought this by? It's very similar metric as well. Yeah, minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty. I've got that there. So once again, lots of familiar names. Got a few sort of injuries as well, and a few players that have lost their place. But nevertheless, good to show them up here. Nketiah, you know, he's injured for a little while, but he is the top-rated forward since the World Cup in terms of minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty, every 107 minutes, 4 goals and 2 assists across his 9 starts. Pretty good. But I'm going to sketch over him because people aren't going to invest there because he's not available. But Nunes at Liverpool, 37 points, 9 starts. Frustrating, but he started to get the goals coming now. 3 goals, 2 assists, 8.8 million. He plays 32 when some people might be free hitting, but yeah, and got a double coming up. I mean, if you don't want to really invest in Salah, Nunes, he looks like probably the next best to get in, wouldn't you say, at this stage?
Yeah, he's been quite the he's had quite the season from an FPL point of view. He's so frustrating to own at times, but even if this international knock that seen him withdrawn for Uruguay, even if that's just one of those classic tactical injuries, there is the increased competition now that Jota and Firmino are back, but at the same time, Liverpool really cannot waste any match from this point. And yeah, Darwin is in their first 11, so yeah, he's a good option when fully fit.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly 4 decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Ian Acho's next. He's lost his place, hasn't he? Not that you're privy to what goes on at Leicester, something's gone on there, hasn't he? Because Ian Acho always looks good when he plays, and he's not even getting the minutes. Even Jamie Vardy, who's about 100 years old, is getting in ahead of him.
Yeah, and Daka has had the last couple as well. I think over the season, Ian Acho's only twice exceeded 75 minutes, so when he does start, he always gets subbed off as well. So it's really frustrating because his price is really good, 6.1. And I think we remember a couple of years ago when he had that late season burst. It could have been that again, but there's just too much uncertainty, unfortunately.
Okay, Haaland's injured. He's not in many teams. Well, I say he's in quite a lot of teams, but he's not in my team. but he will be, because I don't want to go without him for too long. He's joint highest on this table in terms of FPL points, but just below Nunes, Darwin, Nunes, and Nketiah in terms of minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty. 13 starts, 10 goals, 3 assists. it's a goal involvement a game. I don't know what more could be said about Haaland.
Just the two hat-tricks in the past week.
Yeah, five goals in Europe and in one match. And yeah, just have a plan to get him back in if you haven't got him. Put it that
way. Totally. The only question is, will he be back for the immediate game week or whether this minor issue really is?
Well, I'm going to go without him. Of me saying that, I'm going to go without him in game week 29. And I'm going to take that risk. I've got Watkins and Tony came in. Whichever scores highest, I'll claim is the Haaland replacement. But basically, those two came in on a wild card and Haaland went out. And I'll plan to get him in game week 30. So I hopefully he won't play in 29 because I won't have him. Next two is the Newcastle strikers. So as a Newcastle fan, I'll ask you about them. Wilson and Isak. Isak looks the best in terms of FPL points. 34, he's cheaper. 6.7 compared to Wilson's 6.9. He's had four starts, but scored four goals. So it's a goal a game. Wilson, however, five starts and he's only scored once. Has Isak overtaken Wilson? Will we see Isak start every game now that he's fit?
He's definitely first choice for the moment. And just like several other teams, Newcastle only have the league to focus on now, so there's no rotation of other competitions. It's purely about securing four spots. And Isak, he's been involved in 86% of Newcastle goals while he's been on the pitch this season. So he's got the shirt, and it's his place to lose, really.
Okay, great. Those that got him in the last game when he scored hauled points wise, well done. He's one to keep. We've got Tony in this list as well. Minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 146 minutes. He's had six goals and 62 points. So he's been a great asset to have, but he's got one away from a ban in terms of yellow cards. And he hasn't got a double. He has got a double, but it's a pretty bad double. And people are going to be looking elsewhere. So, is it worth mentioning him? I mean, I think people will be looking to move Tony on probably soon, won't they?
Yeah, because he's got two separate sort of bans on the horizon. But the thing about Brentford is, though, they did pick up an away win at Man City and they did get a draw at Arsenal. So that trip to Manchester United... isn't necessarily a bad fixture, but certainly wouldn't be a reason to buy him right now. If you've got him, possibly keep him until that 10th yellow comes, but...
Okay, Tony's ninth on this list, ninth best forward since the World Cup. Felix and Havertz are seventh and ninth, respectively, so very close there. In terms of minutes per expected goal involvement, they both Havertz is 167 minutes, goal involvement every 167 minutes, whereas Felix 145 minutes are marginally better. But in terms of FPL points, Felix has managed 22, not bad actually, across seven starts. Havertz 51 across 12 starts. Havertz scored four times, assisted once, and Felix has just got those two goals there. People have moved towards... There was a week or so where everyone was going, get Felix. And then everyone's going, get Havertz. Then Felix has scored again. People are still sticking with Havertz, but which is the best?
Well, that's it. Last week, I know on Scout, I did an article on Watkins versus Havertz, and it was only writing the last paragraph that I was thinking, well, why not Felix?
Yeah.
It's sort of like player of the month sort of thing going on here. So yeah, Felix or Havertz, the same price and the same team. Havertz seems to be on penalties.
Yeah, I think that would probably sweat for me if I was going to go for one. But if I have Felix, I wouldn't be ditching, put it that way. Next up, you mentioned Watkins there, 7.5, 69 points, FPL points since the World Cup, 12 starts, so nailed on, seven goals, three assists. There's lots of reports from the Villa camp that about his, focusing on his finishing and his positioning and really, really thriving under Emery, isn't he? He's in my team and I think he may stay there for quite a while. I mean, he's not doing anything to make me want to get rid of him at the moment. Watkins, one of the surprise best strikers since the World Cup, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I've sort of been burned by Watkins a few times in the past. Sort of.
I think he's different now, like with March under De Zerbi. I think he's...
Yeah.
I see a different player.
Since game week 21, he's top for XG and on target. So, so it's not just the goals, it's the stats to go with it. He does look transformed. He's got a top-class coach now in Unai Emery. So, yeah, people are looking for a way. If they haven't already got Watkins, he's certainly a way out of Tony or Kane, for example.
Okay. Next up, Ferguson, 4.6 million. So young, so good. He's going to be an absolute star of the future. But he's already a bit of a star, really. Three goals across his five starts. Whenever he comes on as a sub, he tends to score as well. Look threatening as well. Minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 182 minutes. Yeah, he looks good for third Brighton player. I mean, it's just Welbeck's getting on a bit and he's his main threat, really. But Nundav can replace him. But I think Ferguson's a good option for people.
Do you think he starts one of the two?
Yeah, I don't think he starts both. But I think he starts at least one. And he's the kind of player I don't mind as a sub. I'd take 20 minutes of Ferguson against tired legs, against... many others up front.
As I say, in terms of team structure, it would be really interesting if you did want to have room for Salah or Fernandes or something in midfield, having Ferguson as the third striker.
That's a good point.
It's a bench boost would be, it's kind of spot on, really. There's none of the strikers under 6 million particularly have any appeal except for Ferguson. He looks an absolute star.
I mean, the next one on this list, sort of price-wise, is 6.1. I see Iheanacho. We've already talked about him. I mean, he's not signed, but he's not the kind of player I want on, so he could come on in the last minute or so and not do anything. Whereas Ferguson, I don't mind as a sub because I know he's going to get at least 25 minutes or so. And finally on this list, he's actually joint best in terms of FPL points, which reflects how nailed on he is with 13 starts with Haaland. He's had 9 goals and 3 assists, and minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 183 minutes, is Harry Kane. In my team, and in many teams post-wildcard, I'm keeping him, and I hope by the time this video goes out, Conte's gone at Tottenham, no disrespect to him. And unleash the Kane. He's still got it. It's one of his best seasons, I think, in FPL.
Yeah, his first half of the season was so under the radar because of Haaland, but he went on an incredible streak of goals in the first half of the season, but he was barely touched, really. But he's continuing to tick along. He's never really, apart from that haul against Forest, it's never really more than sort of 6 to 8 points, but you can't really turn your nose up at that.
No.
It's steady, and he's FPL royalty. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with his one fixture when everyone else plays twice. His one fixture at Everton is just as good. He'll outscore a lot of popular double players, probably.
Yeah, of course. I think Everton is his second favourite team to play against, Leicester being the first. I think he scored the most against Leicester, second against Everton. I remember a particular game where I captained him at Everton on a Saturday lunchtime. He scored a brace, and one of the goals was this absurd cross that went in that I think even Harry Kane was claiming he didn't intend that. But I didn't mind because he was my captain that day. moving on, we just want to have a look at the best attacks, just to remind ourselves of the best teams since the World Cup in terms of attack. It's Manchester City atop with 27 goals, but expected goals were 29, so they're top for expected goals. Arsenal are just below them with 28 expected goals, but they've scored many more. Liverpool just behind them, 24 goals they're expected to score since the World Cup. In fact, scored 19. Manchester United, pretty much on par what they're doing. They're expected to have scored 22 goals, and they've in fact scored 21. Brighton over Albion, expected next on this list. So they're the fifth best attack since the World Cup, which underlies why we've got all these sort of players like Mitoma in our teams. 21 goals are expected to score. They've in fact scored 23 as well. So marginally over there, overperforming. But I really wouldn't take that in terms of like overperforming, get rid of them. It's still a really good attack there. So these are the teams, I think, that apart from Liverpool, that we're really focusing on at the moment, you know, with Haaland and the Arsenal mids and Brighton mids. They make up a lot of our team at the moment, but Liverpool could be the surprise package that disrupts that, do you think, the template coming up?
Yeah, probably. Certainly, some of the other teams like Chelsea have been quite low scoring, Newcastle have been quite low scoring. So Liverpool, it's just a shame about the pricing, really, because Gakpo and Darwin do come at good prices, but there's just a slight amount of uncertainty there, which could put some off. But yeah, as a team, we've just seen what they did to Man United. Sorry to Man United fans. 7-0, that could be the 1-9-0 this season, 7-0.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just don't know when they're in the mood for it. It could
And also, as someone who owns Salah when they play Manchester United, hooray, and also when they play Bournemouth, oh dear, it's that lack of reliability. I trust Haaland at City, I trust the Arsenal mids, I trust Rashford at Manchester United, trust the Brighton mids and their attack. Liverpool, I just don't trust. They've lost my trust. Sad.
Totally. They've not been too great on the road.
No.
That defeat at Bournemouth.
Okay. Well, maybe that could indicate there is some reliability there. As if they're away, don't bother. But at home, maybe. Okay, Mark, thanks so much for joining me. Just a final reminder to people to do press that like button and do subscribe. And the reminder that all our videos are available on podcast shortly after they are broadcast. Mark, good luck in game week 29 and good luck with the rest of the season. Thanks a lot for joining me.
Thank you. Good luck.